Welcome into hour number two of Sports 180. We will continue the conversation with Tennessee Florida Week and everything else going on in the sports world as we now send things over to the Hill and Tennessee coach Jeremy Pruitt.
Thanksgiving weekend. I know we're excited to be back. We got our guys back in here on Saturday and started going over some things, getting a prep for Florida, just continuing there. You know, when you look at Florida, I think right now they're playing as good as any team in the country offensively. Been very efficient, especially at quarterback position. Kyle Trask has done a phenomenal job getting the ball to the right playmakers. Knows where to go with the ball. You know, we're familiar with him. We played him last year. He played really well against us. I think they've got probably the best tight end in the country. And Kyle Pitts, you know, just nobody's really been able to slow him down. The thing that has really impressed me the most about him, just in his game, everybody knew that he was a very good receiving tight end. But I think if you just look at this season, he's done a tremendous job blocking in the C area that has really elevated his game. Nobody really talks about that, but I see it. I see the way he's playing. Got really good running backs. Got a bunch of wide receivers. Got experience on the D-line. You know, Todd Grantham has always been a guy that creates negative plays, gives you a lot of different looks, have been very opportunistic on that side of the ball. And then special teams, got really good specialists, good returners. So it'll be a huge challenge for us. And our guys, we're excited about playing this game. We obviously didn't get a chance to play last week. You know, we've not had any new COVID positives from our last testing. We do have some guys that are in quarantine that won't be able to practice this week, but will be able to play on game day. So it's an unusual circumstance that we're working through it, and the next guys are getting ready to play. So we've got a full week this week, and we're excited about playing Florida.
Yeah, Jeremy, I wanted to ask you, last month Nick Saban was talking about, he talked to ESPN and said it used to be that good defense beats good offense, and he said good defense doesn't beat good offense anymore. Talked about the Georgia game some and said that that's not the way it used to be, but he said it's not that way anymore. I wanted to get your take on that and what you thought about that and how that sort of has informed your own program.
Well, I think you know, there's more points being scored now than ever, especially in this league. There's always been – this has traditionally been kind of a defensive-dominated league, but over the last probably 3 or 4 years, you can see that it's changing a little bit. And there's been days that some of the best teams who had the best defenses, their offense have to – they have to cover for them. You know, you got to win a game, you know, 42 to – 38 or 46 to 41 or something, you know. So you've got to be able to score points. I think especially when you look at this season with a 10-game SEC schedule and the grind of it, the teams that have been really explosive on offense probably have created an advantage for them just because the games have probably not been as physical. You know, if you score a lot of points and the other team's trying to catch up, there's not as much ground and pound and so I think you've definitely seen that.
When you look at your own sort of offense, what do you feel like has limited you guys from having some of that explosiveness and being able to score 40 points and those kind of things?
Well, I can assure you, we want to score every possession, right? I mean, we've talked about this over and over. We've had turnovers, we've had penalties, lack of execution. You know, I can assure you, David, it's not our plan to go out there and score 17 points. We want to score as many as we can, right?
Thanks.
Jeremy, when you look at opposing offenses, and I don't know how many scripted plays Florida will have out of the gate, 10, 12, whatever it may be, but I did see where out of their 8 games, they've scored 6 touchdowns and a field goal on their opening possessions. So how tough will it be early out of the gate to make sure this offense can get controlled?
Well, I think Dan has always done a really good job as a play caller based off the personnel that he has on his team. you know, you look at them right now, you know, they're efficient running the football. They're efficient throwing the football. They get the ball to a lot of different receivers, a lot of different running backs. So he's always done a fantastic job mixing it up, you know. Probably now they're throwing it more than they ever have. It's based off his team, right? He's got a really good quarterback with a good surrounding cast. It's not to say that they couldn't go run the ball a whole bunch of times and win the same amount of games. I think they're excellent running the football, but he's just playing to his strengths. I think he's always done a really good job. So it's not just the opening drive, it's the entire game.
You've got obviously a defensive background. How much guessing is there when it comes to that opening drive when a team comes in with a few plays scripted? How much guessing do you do from a defensive standpoint along those lines?
Well, you know, if you it's you start with the opening drive, start with third downs, short yardage, goal line, red area, coming out, 2 minute. There's all these different situations during the game that you kind of got to go back and dig up history and see what they've done in the past, you know, but they're always going to have change ups. And sometimes when you've coached against guys as long as we've coached against each other, there might be too much history. So obviously what they're doing right now is not what he did when he was at Mississippi State. So you really have to go over what they've done right now, but you can see he pulls out things that he's done over the last 10 or 12 years, and it'll show up in a game, you know. So you really got to be ready for everything.
Thank you.
Jeremy, you've talked a lot about practice habits and execution as things that you guys need to get better at to improve and get the results. What are some other things that you guys have worked on with these extra practices or even changed to maybe help you get results besides those things that are obviously important also?
Well, we've had 3 off weeks, I think, in the last 5 weeks. So it's been an opportunity for a lot of younger guys to take a lot of reps. So the more you do something, the better you get at it. And then for a lot of the older guys, you know, we had a lot of guys that have been in and out of the lineup. And one thing about any sport or anything you want to do, you want to kind of getting in a routine. So being able to kind of get in a routine and practice and create some consistency within a group has been important. You know, this past week was a little different than the previous off weeks because we had a lot of guys that were out of practice. So, you know, we didn't have the volume of workload like we've done in the previous week. So a little more walkthroughs, a lot more teaching, just to be able to be productive.
Any number in terms of people that have been out that weren't available to you this week?
You know, we've had 2 guys test positive, but it dates back to when we came back from Auburn. But unfortunately with the contact tracing, you know, that number has grown, you know, pretty good bit there. So, it's knocked us out of a lot of guys, which they'll start coming back in here toward the end of this week.
Yeah, I guess I just meant the number of guys that were out due to contact tracing. It's nothing like it was earlier in the year or anything, right?
No, we're you know, at that time we were 40 and 50. We're probably about 16 right now.
Thank you.
We're going to play the top 5 in the times.
Jeremy, with those quarantining players, how does that work? Because if I understand correctly, that the SEC rule is a 14-day quarantine for those guys, and after the positive tests would have been on Sunday after the Auburn game. So how does that timeline work for them to be back in time to play for this game?
Well, it's right there on the – there's multiple tests, obviously. So we do a test on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. So when it comes back in, the docs look at it and they go through, I guess, our local health department with the exact quarantine, when people are in, when people are out. So that's where they get, that's what we go by.
So the only guys out for this weekend and for COVID reasons, would that just be the 2 guys that tested positive?
And a couple of more right now.
Okay.
We'll go to Jimmy.
Jeremy, you were talking about Kyle Trask. How is he better this year than he was last year?
Well, he's got more experience. He's really done a nice job getting the balls to the playmakers. Is made a lot of really good decisions, has not made a lot of poor decisions. He has enough athletic ability to extend plays, I think he's played really, really well.
And you mentioned 16 of them that may be in quarantine or so forth. Are all of your quarterbacks available, or is any of your quarterbacks been affected by that?
No, we've had one that's been affected. So the whole part of it is I've tried to, be as transparent as we can with it. We can't say exactly who, but these guys that are out there practicing, they're working hard to create chemistry with our guys. So we'll continue to do that this week.
And you practice Saturday, Sunday, right?
We only had a walkthrough on Saturday. Didn't practice on Sunday.
Okay. Are you giving quarterbacks equal reps, or did you do that on Saturday?
Well, it was a walkthrough, Jimmy. So we'll see as we go through the week.
Okay.
We'll go to Jordan and then Gustavo.
Hi, Jeremy. When you are looking at playing or starting a true freshman, aside from just kind of the basic knowledge of the position and what's being asked of them, what are some of the intangibles that you look for from them in practice?
Well, it starts probably with knowledge, and for this freshman class, we had some guys that were mid-year, but they didn't get a chance to go through spring ball. So that probably hurt them. But just creating the right habits, knowledge, knowing what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it, and why you're supposed to do it that way is important. Being able to be mature enough to come and work every day at practice to compete, and because everybody sees it, right? So, and hey, our freshman class, we got a lot of really good football players in there. And these guys continued to be positive, to work hard. And as the season has went, you've seen more and more of them play.
Gustavo.
Coach, Tennessee has not played at home in 6 weeks. How excited you are to go back and play at Neyland Stadium against a tough and a rival opponent as Florida?
Yeah, we're absolutely looking forward to it. It seems like it's been forever since we've had a home game. So we'll be excited to be back in England. I think obviously it's a huge advantage for us to play at home. Our crowd has been great this year in every game, so we'll need them to be that way again Saturday.
We'll go to Madison, then back to Vince.
Hey, Coach, you talk about the grind of playing a conference-only season. I know it's nothing new now late in the season, but I just wanted to ask how you are doing, how your staff's doing, and how the players are doing, just adjusting to weeks where you're preparing mentally and physically to play on Saturday, and then it's postponed and it's out of your control. Just how have the players responded both mentally and on the field as well?
Well, it's late in the year now, so we've kind of gotten used to it. It's obviously starting on March the 12th for our players and everybody in our program. Everything changed, so we've been working hard to adapt, and I feel like our staff's done an outstanding job continuing to do that. One thing that that I'm proud of is Dr. Klink and Geronimo and those guys in the athletic, the medical staff have done a phenomenal job really kind of protecting our guys and protecting everybody in our organization. So our kids have responded to it. So that's been a huge deal for us.
Jeremy, I know Kyle Pitts presents maybe different challenges that no other tight end does, but how would you assess how your defense has defended tight ends this year?
Well, it doesn't matter how we've defended them. None of them have been like this guy, right? So You know, this is probably in all my years coaching, I believe he's the most talented guy that we've ever played against. You know, he's a guy that can line up and win one-on-one on corners. He can win one-on-one on safeties, linebackers. So, and then, like I said, he's really improved in blocking in the interior part. You know, he's just a complete football player and playing as good as anybody in our conference.
We'll go to Mike Wilson and Matt Ray.
Yeah, Jeremy, with Harrison Bailey, how much more have you been able to throw at him with the playbook and understanding the offense as the season has moved along?
Well, I really don't think the issue of you know, is the playbook. You know, Harrison's a smart guy that's worked really hard. It's been more about opportunities, you know, so and getting live opportunities. And he's had a chance to do more and more of that as the season has went. When you just talk about volume of work, you know, really playing a little bit at the end of the Kentucky game, the Arkansas game, and then this couple of weeks ago against Auburn has been really good for him, just for the speed of the game to prepare him for the future. So that's been really, really good. He works hard every single day and is developing a little bit more of a leadership around the rest of his teammates. That's part of being a quarterback, is getting the other 10 guys to be at their best. So, again, he continues to do what we ask him to do.
Then when do you expect to have the quarterback who's affected by contact tracing back available to practice? And would it be hard to play a quarterback who hasn't practiced in up to 2 weeks?
Well, it'd be hard to play anybody, right? So, you know, Jalen McCullough did it a little bit against South Carolina. He played a couple of plays in that game. Warren Burrell did it also this year. So it's not ideal. But the one thing about it, when you're in contact tracing, you can still work out. You can still stay in shape. You can do the things. It's just got to be in a confined environment. So, you know, they get a chance to watch the meetings via Zoom so they can look at the game plan. It's just not actually experiencing the reps out there.
Matt.
Jeremy, you've talked about how great Kyle Pitts is and the supporting cast around him with Kadarius Toney, Jacob Copeland, and so on. But you just mentioned it with Jalen McCullough and Warren Burrell. Your secondary has been hit by injury and absences dating back to, you know, week one. Do you expect to finally have that group healthy and at full strength on Saturday, or are you still going to be down some guys?
You know, it'll be we've got guys that have really pushed through the entire year. It's just been an unusual year, and some of it has probably been from the start and stop has affected some individuals a little bit more. So, you know, every who we got Saturday, they'll go out there and they'll play to the best of their ability and they'll play together.
Back to Jimmy Himes.
Hey, Jeremy, during these weeks you've had to practice without a game on a Saturday, where do you feel like you've improved as a team?
Say it again.
Where do you feel like you have improved with these additional practices you've had without a game on Saturday? Where do you feel like you may have gotten better?
Well, creating depth. You know, like I said, we had a lot of young guys that were affected all the way back in fall camp. It's when we started the scrimmages on Sunday nights. And when we've had these off weeks, we've treated them like fall camps, really up until this past week. So it's been good for a lot of young players and to create depth on our team, and we're going to need it down the stretch.
Also with Brent Samaglia, he's been a bit inconsistent. Is he fully healthy now? I think he was experiencing maybe a groin injury, but is he fully healthy at this point?
Well, he's working to get there. I don't know, Jimmy, that he is. You know, he came back from I guess when we got here in June with a little bit of an injury there, and he's kind of worked his way through it throughout the season. But again, he's a guy that we believe in. You know, he's been almost automatic since we've been here. So when he's healthy, he's one of the best players in the country at that position.
Last question, Gustavo.
Coach Davis is going to face two teams that are fighting to be on the college football playoff. How challenging is going to be you know, Tennessee being this team, they're going to face two big teams. They're fighting to be on the college football playoffs.
I'm talking about Florida
and Texas A&M as well.
Okay, we're focused on Florida right now, and that's enough to focus on. So listen, they got a really good football team. They're very well coached, you know, and like I said, they'll present a lot of different challenges for us, and it's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity for everybody in our program, and it's something that we're looking forward to.
All right, thank y'all.
Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks, Bill.
That is Jeremy Pruitt's press conference to kick off Florida Week, and his press conference each and every week brought to you by the Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty team. That's the Kings of Real Estate team. Tracy King is so confident he will sell your home at a price agreeable to you, or he will buy it guaranteed in writing. Call Tracy King at 365-2323, 365-2323. That's 365-2323, and start packing. We have a lot to talk about. We'll catch up on the hour as well with all that Jeremy Pruitt had to say coming up right here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Thanks for being with us here on Sports 180. We'll go quickly here in this segment as we get caught up on the clock a little bit this hour on Sports 180. We just heard from Jeremy Pruitt. Remember, you can always go back and listen to our press conferences, interviews, shows, and the podcast section of the WNML app. You can find all of our feeds on Apple Podcasts as well. Joel, I would think a big note from the press conference is that the numbers at about 16 Tennessee football players dealing with quarantine having to be out. We don't know exactly who that is, but that's a pretty significant portion of your football team ahead of the Florida game. So the Vols have had an extra week to get ready, and there are some advantages for certain players, I would say for sure. And at quarterback, if you're trying to get Harrison Bailey ready, there's one quarterback who has been in that group, but we don't know exactly who that is. But that'll be something to pay attention to this week. Who among Tennessee's players will be available, will not be available, will have had to miss practice over these 2 weeks leading up to the game.
And figuring out what the personnel adjustments would be if it was a 16 significant players for Tennessee's lineup. And Pruitt kind of gave the notion that players wouldn't be able to practice but should be available for Saturday. But that quarterback question does come into play about which quarterback it could be. Is it Bailey or Garantano? Does that factor into the conversation? So a lot of question marks surrounding that, but that's kind of been the norm throughout the pandemic, especially with college football programs.
Very complimentary of Florida, of the offense and how the Gators are playing on that side of the ball. And then Kyle Pitts, you want to talk about a strong statement. I'm sure he's coached against a bunch of really good tight ends and said that Pitts might be as good as or better than any of them that he has faced. And how could you argue? Kyle Pitts has been incredible. He returned to play for the Gators this past weekend.
So strong, uses his size so well. One of the most dominant college tight ends we've seen in a long time. Really eager to see what his draft grades look like by the time this season ends and where we could see him go. And I know Vernon Davis was a top 10 pick, right, when he was coming out of Maryland. So every once in a while you see a tight end that gets that sort of high grade for the NFL draft. I'm really curious to see where Kyle Pitts goes, because I think we're seeing that level of talent with what he's doing at Florida right now.
Yeah, Vernon Davis was the sixth pick coming out. Big-time athlete. Pitts at 6'6", 246. He has more than 500 receiving yards, 11 touchdowns on the season for the Gators. He's been unstoppable, and he will be difficult for Tennessee to stop, no doubt, this week. We will talk more about it. We'll come back. We'll catch you up as we have a midday sports minute here for you, and we'll be with you until 3 o'clock on Sports 180. With Joel Silverberg, Logan Ward, I'm Josh Ward. You're listening to FM 99.1, the Sports Animal, with Florida being a big favorite. I saw yesterday evening Florida favored by 16.5. This morning it was up to 17 to 17.5.
At this point in the season, you've got to figure out something to make it work at that position. So you're going in as a big underdog, and when you're going down, when you're going into a game off the bench down by two scores and you're an underclassman, I think there's obviously a big part of you, and the team still believes it, I think, as well, that you are trying to win the football game. When Harrison Bailey went in against Arkansas, Tennessee was in a position where it could still potentially win the football game. Now, it didn't manage the situation the best. It had Harrison Bailey throwing his first pass attempt of the game on a 4th and 4 when the Vols could have kicked a field goal to make it a one-possession game. But I think for I think it's a little bit different when you can allow a quarterback to go in there knowing, hey, we're obviously going to play to win, but the expectations are that we're not going to do that. So go in, this is your game, take it like it's, you know, take it like it's yours. And I think sometimes for true freshmen, when they're being inserted into a game where you're down by two scores, there's still an opportunity for you to win. You've already seen in the Arkansas game, you've already seen two quarterbacks get benched. So I think for Harrison Bailey, for him to be able to go in as the starter and just to have that reassurance from Jeremy Pruitt saying, hey, this isn't just an audition, like you're going to play this football game, I think it gives a different mindset, because oftentimes when we see quarterbacks go in off the bench, it just looks very, very different. When Nathan Peterman went in for the Georgia game for Justin Worley, when he got knocked out of that one, I guess that was back in 2015, you know, Peterman didn't look comfortable in the pocket. He didn't look comfortable running the offense. And so when Worley came back in, things were able to click again. But obviously we saw Peterman have success as a collegiate quarterback. It's not that Peterman wasn't a good quarterback. The same thing kind of happened with Dobbs. First go around didn't look all that great. So you need to get reps for these guys. You need to get reps as a starting quarterback, not just coming off the bench. And I think that goes a long way, especially in the SEC. But I think Harrison Bailey could benefit a lot from getting the opportunity to do that over these last three games.
Yeah, teammates of Nathan Peterman that year will say that he looked good in practice, that he looked ready to go. And his talent is, I think, unquestioned because he's in the NFL right now and he played well at Pitt. So that being said, I didn't think going in that he should be starting there, but this is also a different situation to me. One, it's late in the year as opposed to how early that Florida game was. This one's in Knoxville. This Florida defense is not quite as challenging. Also, at this point, what are you holding on to at the quarterback spot with Jarrett Garantano as he continues to do most of the things that the coaching staff asked him to do well? The mistakes have still been there, and they've been very costly to Tennessee. So I don't think anybody has to really explain why Tennessee might look to make a move at that position. I'll also repeat what I said last week. You can start Harrison Bailey and keep Jarrett Garantano as your number two quarterback and have him ready to go if he's needed. He's been in that position in the past. He was last year in a bunch of different spots, and he responded really well. So I don't see the downside to going to Harrison Bailey and giving him an opportunity. I don't see tremendous upside right now, but I see the potential for improvement or more plays, which you're going to need. You have to score points, right? And what about Tennessee's offense with Garantano at quarterback has shown you any kind of sign that Tennessee's going to be able to score a bunch of points? The way that they've called plays and the way that they've run the offense with JG there says they can't really score a bunch of points. Now, if they run it the same way with Harrison Bailey, then you're going to have the same result. So I would change some things up there. But and just in terms of personnel, I would give Harrison Bailey a look, assuming he's available this week.
Tennessee's offense has not scored more than 17 points in a game since the Missouri win back at the beginning of October. If you remember, Tennessee's scoring got started by a defensive touchdown against Georgia. So you're talking no more than two touchdown drives a game in this five-game losing streak. Something's got to be done. And I think, what are you afraid of losing at this point? You bring up a valid point there. I mean, are you worried that Garantano's going to leave? I don't think he would leave midseason. Just because he gets benched, he's used to that. B, he's embraced that role before. And I don't think anybody questions Garantano's commitment to the University of Tennessee. And I certainly don't. So if Garantano's going in as the number two guy, I think he's going to go in and be a good teammate. If he has to come off the bench, so be it. But you know one thing's for certain, that you are likely going to have Harrison Bailey next season, and he's going to be competing for a starting job. I would like to get him quality reps against a big opponent, because this game means something. And if you lose to Florida and lose to Texas A&M and Bailey still hasn't started a game, and you're asking him to make his first career start against Vanderbilt when Tennessee's 2-7, Vanderbilt might be 0-9. I mean, is that really significant? Does that really do Harrison Bailey a whole lot of good? I mean, the reps are obviously helpful, but I would like to see him against a real quality SEC opponent, especially during a season where at this point you don't really have a whole lot to lose. You can go to a bowl game at 3-7. It's unlikely that you're going on a three-game streak and finishing 5-5. I just think at this point you have nothing to lose and potentially a lot to gain by Harrison Bailey being your starting quarterback this weekend.
Yeah, Tennessee's offensive woes have been pretty obvious. They have two touchdowns in the last five games in the second half of play. It's just been rough for many different reasons, but quarterback would be among them. I'd give Harrison Bailey a look again, assuming he's available and ready to go this week. We'll come back here on Sports 180. Your thoughts, 656-9900, as Florida Week is here. We're about to enter the month of December, final month of 2020, which a lot of people are thankful for coming out of the Thanksgiving weekend. We'll continue the conversation. We'll look back at what happened this past weekend as well. A pop-up fact with a wild collection of stats by a running back that you've maybe never heard of. We'll tell you about that coming up next right here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Welcome back into Sports 180. Thank you for being with us on this Monday afternoon with Joel Silverberg. I'm Josh Ward. We'll be with you until 3 o'clock. Logan Ward producing for us today, and we still have a lot to get to. More on Tennessee, Florida. We'll talk to Patrick Brown of GoVols 247 coming up at 2:30. We'll have the Power Poll at the end of the show with our top winners and losers coming out of the weekend. If you would like to join us, you can do so by dialing 656-9900. There are college basketball games going on during the day. Texas leads Davidson 70-65 with about 5:50 to go in that game. Tennessee continues to have activities paused this week as they look to get everybody back to full speed this upcoming weekend. And right now, the first game of the season scheduled for December 12th against Cincinnati. Lady Vols opened up the season this past weekend with a win. So college basketball is here as college football continues on. And today's pop-up fact has a wild list of stats from this past weekend. So let's hit it. Today's pop-up fact.
It's time for today's Sports 180 pop-up fact of the day. A quick look at a did-you-know factoid.
Joel, there's not just one fact coming out of the performance by Buffalo running back Jarrett Patterson this past weekend. It really is a list. He tied an NCAA record with 8 rushing touchdowns this past weekend. His 409 rushing yards were second most all-time in a game. The 8 touchdowns tie Illinois' Howard Griffith in 1990, and Patterson had more than 100 yards, as I read from the notes of Chris Vanini of The Athletic. He had more than 100 yards and 2 touchdowns on just his first 4 carries. He reached 5 touchdowns by halftime on Saturday. He was pulled during the final drive, and Kevin Marks rushed for a 15-yard touchdown with 1:16 to play. That could have been Patterson. He could have had his 9th touchdown there. 4 of Patterson's 8 touchdown runs were at least 30 yards, as he had touchdowns of 31, 42, 49, and 58 yards. The 8 rushing touchdowns were more than 44 FBS teams had all season entering Saturday. And I believe he has 3 of the 4 longest rushing yardage games of the last 2 seasons. Jarrett Patterson of Buffalo.
He is currently 5th in the country in rushing yards. I believe he's tied for 2nd in rushing touchdowns. Buffalo's played 4 games. That's the bigger stat. All the running backs in front of him have played 7, 8, 9. I think UTSA has played close to 10 games. They're running backs in there as well. So Patterson's doing all of this, having played half the total games as the rest of the country, with the max starting so late this year.
He is averaging 230 yards per game. We are not done with the notes of Jarrett Patterson, what he's done, as he has 710 rushing yards over 2 games, the most in a 2-game span in FBS history. He rushed for a school record 301 yards against Bowling Green last week. So he has set new rushing records in back-to-back games in Buffalo history, made him the 2nd player in FBS history with consecutive 300-yard games, joining Texas's Ricky Williams back in 1998. Incredible what we've seen from Jarrett Patterson this past weekend. As you mentioned, only 4 games in, he's going to keep on going. He's at Buffalo, so he won't get the amount of attention he deserves. In his first 2 seasons at Buffalo, he rushed for 1,013 yards and 1,799 yards, and he is well on his way surpassing the 1,000-yard mark coming up in Buffalo's next game.
Yeah, already over 900 yards rushing, and should be getting to the 1,000-yard mark here pretty soon. Unfortunate that the MAC isn't playing more games like some of the other power conferences. Yeah. It'd be a lot of fun to see what he could be doing with a full 12-game schedule. But, man, what he's done already in just 4 weeks has been wildly impressive. And his backup, you mentioned Marks, who had that 15-yard touchdown run. He finished with 97 yards on Saturday. So Buffalo's 2 running backs combined for over 500 yards against an FBS opponent. And Kent State's not like a terrible MAC team. Kent State's not like Bowling Green. That's a decent team that has blown out a couple teams already this season. So that's a really impressive performance by Patterson.
Yep, no doubt. They have two games remaining coming up over the next 2 weeks, so we'll see what number he can hit. Seeing this through four games makes it a real shame. You're right that they can't play a longer schedule or a full schedule. Imagine what he could do if you triple the number of games that they've played to this point. Well, if you do the math on that, you're looking at roughly 2,700 rushing yards. At some point, maybe he slows down. I wouldn't bet on that, though. The pop-up fact, it is a list of them, of the accomplishments of Jarrett Patterson at Buffalo. Buffalo now 4-0 on the season. And that is the pop-up fact, which each and every day is presented by Burton McKinnish Law. The offices located in Maryville, Sevierville, Western North Carolina, and Southeastern Kentucky. Family law and divorce, criminal defense, DUI, Social Security, and personal injury. All people are equal before the law. A good attorney is what makes the difference. Burton McKinnish Law. You can visit them online, burtonmckinnish.com. And this would be an example of making the most out of whatever 2020 offers you, right? With Jarrett Patterson, what he's done. And there are all kinds of numbers. Like we can look at what Kyle Pitts has done at Florida. And he had to miss a little time because of injury, but you're shortening a lot of these numbers. Numbers that Kyle Trask is putting up, comparing them to previous quarterbacks would be unfair if you look at an entire season. You have to go more game by game if you're trying to put what guys are doing this year into any kind of comparison with previous players.
I think, too, just you take out those non-conference games where sometimes teams play weaker opponents, and that can really adjust the statistics and all that. And what Patterson has done has been so neat to see him put up such big numbers in a short period of time. But if Buffalo were to have a non-conference game against, an FCS opponent, what would Patterson do in a game like that? Now, he's probably not playing all four quarters, but you just think more opportunities for him to break more long runs, because it's not even, you mentioned it a moment ago, it's not just a matter that he's scoring touchdowns and just grinding out long drives. He's breaking off big runs and constantly scoring touchdowns that are 30 yards or longer. So when he hits the second level, he becomes really dangerous. But you're seeing numbers like that all over college football, with some of the numbers that Mac Jones has put up at times this year, Kyle Trask, you mentioned Kyle Pitts, just a lot of big numbers and big playmakers throughout the sport that you wonder if some single season records would potentially be on the line if they had those extra three or four non-conference games.
One other note, there were several numbers I saw that were just ugly for Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. I didn't have the heart to make those the pop-up facts. Something more positive with Jarrett Patterson to close out hour number two. We'll come back. We'll catch you up on what's going on in the sports world today. That includes looking ahead to the Tennessee-Florida game, news on where the 49ers are going to play football because they can't play at home, not legally allowed to. We'll update you on that and get you ready for Sports Talk at 3 o'clock. That's all coming up here on Sports 180-656-9900 to join us as you're listening to FM 99.1, the sports animal.